This is the second sermon in a series called You'll Know You're Getting Old When. Someone said, you know you're getting old when you step off of the curb and then you look down to make sure that the street is still there. Been there, done that. Doing that right now in my life. I mean, that's just one of many jokes. The jokes are rampant about you'll know you're growing old when. We went through a bunch of them last week. But you know what? There is an expression that many of us use quite often, and we know what it means. It's growing old is not for sissies. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever felt that? Oh boy, look at the all around the room, the smiles and the nodding of the heads right now. I can see it. As cute as some of those jokes are, there are a number of ways to close that phrase that are more sobering. And today I'm closing it this way. You'll know you're getting old when you are filled with regrets. Now, I hope that none of you are filled with regrets. But the older we get, the longer that list can become. And even the oldest persons in here, I have no idea who the oldest person is, but even the oldest person in here, that list can continue to grow if you're not careful. The British newspaper called The Guardian published an article in February of 2012 that was written by a nurse who specialized in caring for people who were terminally ill. That's an interesting term, terminally ill. We usually think of it as a term for old people, but it can be applied to children and teenagers and anyone, because we are all terminally ill because of sin. Every one of us is headed to the same terminal. The nature of the article was that she listed the five most common things that people who were on their deathbed said about regrets in their life. And I'm going to give them to you in reverse order, number five first. By the way, these are not necessarily from a Christian perspective. These are from a human perspective. Number five is this: I wish I had let myself be happier. That came primarily from people who admitted that they didn't like change. They only pretended to be happy in life. They only pretended to be content. At least they told themselves they were content. But in fact, they really wanted to have more fun. Is that any of you? This is number four. It was, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends more. Now, I'm kind of surprised that that one wasn't, I wish I stayed in touch with my friends and family more. But I'm just telling you what she reported. Number three was this: I wish I had had the courage to express my feelings more. Lots of people suppress their feelings. And you know why? They're afraid that someone will criticize them for feeling what they're feeling. They just don't want other people to know what they're feeling. We could talk about that one for a long time. Here's the second most frequent regret. I wish I had not worked so much. She said, no surprise here, she said every male patient said that. Every single one of them. Don't look at your husband. And the number one regret she heard was this: I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself and not what others expected of me. Now, I suspect that more women had that one than men. She said that many women said, I spent my life trying to please my husband. and later my children. And my bucket list got neglected. Is that true of anybody here? She said that many people had said they had not even fulfilled half of the dreams they had for their life. Is that true of any of us? They made choices in life, or maybe they failed to make choices in life that robbed them of experiencing the things that were on their bucket list. How's your bucket list? I also suspect this, that one of the most common regrets that men expressed were different from that one. Do you remember a song by Harry Chapin that came out in 1974 by the title, The Cat's in the Cradle? The words are a perfect illustration for what I'm talking about right now, regrets in men. It starts out like this. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. You remember this song? Uh-huh. And the chorus was, and the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but when we get together, you know we'll have a good time then. And then verse 2. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be like him. And the next verse. Well, he came home from college just the other day. So much a man. I had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver moon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know, we'll have a good time then. And then here's the song's ending. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad. If I can find the time, you see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Regrets. If you are alive, you probably have some regrets. And maybe you have a long list of them. And you'll know you're getting old if that list gets really, really long. Jesus told an incredible story about a man who experienced profound regrets in life. And it's found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. It's not a short story, and I suspect you know it. When I start, I bet you'll say, oh yeah, I remember this one. Jesus told this story. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Remember this story? Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to there cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's home, for I have five brothers. Let them warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets." And by that he meant they have the scriptures. They have the Old Testament. "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." It's quite a story. A few chapters earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Brothers and sisters, if you ignore the word of God, you will have some serious regrets. No question. Oh, there are lots of other illustrations in the Bible about people with regrets. For instance, David. He regretted what he did with Bathsheba. Joseph's 10 brothers regretted that they sold their brother into slavery into Egypt. Peter regretted that he denied Jesus 3 times on that holy night. And he wept bitterly. Regrets are part of our human condition at any age. But the older we get, the longer the list can become. The result is that you can wallow in self-pity. Are you listening? The result is you can wallow in self-pity. You could even end up hating yourself. You can build a wall between yourself and God, between God and yourself, as if it's his fault. Do you know anyone who looks and acts unhappy all the time? My guess is they are carrying around a boatload of regrets. Is that you? Of course, there's different levels of regrets. There's some of them that we get over very quickly, like, "I regret I didn't buy that when it was on sale." Others are more life-changing, like not taking a certain job, or not making good grades in school, not applying yourself. If you didn't buy it when it was on sale, it can give you heartburn, but if you have life-changing regrets, it can give you a grieving heart. And then there's huge regrets, like marrying the wrong person. That's a biggie. Or committing a terrible sin that you feel like you could never be forgiven for that. That gives us a heart full of pain. Not heartburn, not grieving heart, but a painful heart. The result, the progressive result of having regrets in our lives. The question is, what do we do about it? What do we do about those past regrets that I'm sure all of us have? Well, here's the answer. Wisdom. I'm reading from Proverbs 90, verse 12. Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Not heartburn, not grieving heart, not painful heart, but a heart full of wisdom. You'll know you're getting old when you gain more wisdom. That's what the Bible talks about. And then the wisest among us will make a phone call to God. That's right. Have you heard this one? God has a phone number. It's Jeremiah 3:33. And here's what it says. Call to me, and I will answer you. Woohoo! God understands regrets. After all, he even said in his word that he himself had regrets. It's given to us in Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Jonah was filled with regret because he disobeyed God, and God got angry with him, and he caused Jonah to be swallowed up by a huge fish. And it says in Jonah chapter 2, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. He knew God's phone number. He knew Jeremiah 3:33. He called to the Lord. And he had hope again, and God caused that fish to vomit. That was fairly unpleasant. But he was delivered. He was delivered. He had hope because he was wise enough to remember God's phone number. Why don't we call to God for help when we're dealing with our regrets? We don't even want to talk to other people about our regrets. And so therefore, why would we want to talk to God? This is the God who said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what? You may have to go through some vomit first, but he promises to give you rest. Can you imagine how it must grieve God when we refuse to call upon him? He wants us to call upon him. He wants to rescue us. He wants to redeem us. Are you too proud to talk to God? I love this. There is a part of our brains called the amygdala. The amygdala is an almond-shaped area of the brain that controls our extreme emotions, like hatred or fear. Scientists have discovered there is a physical phenomenon associated with the amygdala in new mothers. When they hear their baby cry, it causes a hormone to be released into their bodies and into their brains. Her heart starts beating faster. Her hands and her feet may perspire. And also, she may start leaking milk, all because she hears her baby's voice crying to her. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Men do not have that hormone. Only women do. Isn't that amazing? God made it that way. Scientists then experimented with mice, and this happened only 7 years ago. They placed some virgin mice into a den with baby mice, and the adult mice ignored the babies. So then they took the adult mice out and they injected that hormone into them and put those mice back into that den. And you know what they did? They rushed to the babies to take care of them. No one is so full of regrets that God cannot deliver them. Hallelujah. After all, God waited till all the wine was gone before he made some more out of the water. God healed a man who was an invalid for 38 years. Not 38 hours, 38 years. God fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. God waited 3 days after Lazarus died before he showed up at the funeral. God can heal you of every regret that you carry around. The little ones, the life-changing ones, and the huge ones, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how long that list is, God can heal it. If you have regrets, call to God. Cry out to God. He wants to rush to you. If you don't do that, then you'll probably end up trying something different. One of the things you might try is medication. It'll make you feel better. Or maybe you'll try alcohol. It'll make you feel better. Or maybe you'll just bury yourself in being busy, busy, busy. Take your mind off your regrets. Or maybe you'll blame other people for your choices. That's a favorite one. Or maybe you'll even deny your own failures. None of those, however, are going to deliver you from your regrets. But they will actually increase your regrets and your list will get longer. Now, everything I've said so far has to do with past regrets. What do you do to try to avoid future ones? Try this. Use more of that wisdom that God has given to older people. If you knew that today is your last day of life on planet Earth, would you live it differently? I have heard from many, many of you pondering questions immediately after you heard about the death of John McClure, the sudden, shocking death of John McClure on Monday of Christmas week. And I've heard many of you say, I watched him light the Advent candles right here. And the very next day he was gone. Gone. You said, I can't get it out of my mind. I'm with you, I know. If you knew that today was your last day of life, would you live it differently? Some might say they would do everything possible to build bridges in their broken relationships. Some might say that they would spend more time with family members. Some might even go out and look for people who do not know about Jesus Christ and share about Jesus with them before it's too late. And all of those examples have something in common. They have the word prioritize. Or priority in common. Ask yourself, what is really important in this life? Brothers and sisters, what's important to you? What's the most important things to you? Lots of people would prioritize whatever brings them joy, when they should prioritize what would bring God joy. Think about it. I tell you what, thinking about these sermons and writing these sermons, it's hard on this old man. So join with me. The Apostle Paul said he had no regrets because it helped him to keep eternity in view rather than being preoccupied with his todays. And that is why he is said to have earned the right to be content regardless of the life changes around him. Paul's priority was to live life forward. We talked about that last week. Paul's priority was to live life forward, to keep growing in life, in his relationship with God, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as he possibly could. He was motivated, he was driven by Jesus' words, which were, seek first the kingdom of God, priority. So I have to ask myself, and I ask you, what are you living for? What are you living for? I've heard people say, I live for a good restaurant. I've heard people say, I live for a good TV drama. I live for the football team, or I live for this or that. What are you living for? What's important? What's priority? Have no regrets. You'll know you're getting older when you stop living for anything. Walk arm in arm with Joshua, who said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, what? We will serve the Lord. What? I can't hear you.
We will serve the Lord.
Yes, that's what he said. That's what God said through him. When the Hebrews went from camp to camp during the Exodus, you know what this is? The first thing they did is, the most important thing, they built a tent of meeting for the whole family of God before they erected their own tents for their own homes, because they put God first. They put the family of God first before they put themselves first. That's a wonderful example for us. And that is a wonderful way to avoid future regrets, brothers and sisters. Put God first. Also, in addition to priority, decide today what is the most valuable thing in your life. The world says that he who has the most toys wins. God doesn't say that. Jesus is not against our having things. He's against things having us. Big difference. Just as Paul said, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So, we say to ourselves, I know I'm getting old when I have the wisdom to set the right priorities and to know what is really valuable. And finally, you will have no regrets if you say yes to Jesus Christ and you trust him totally. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we have done things that we regret, and we have failed to do things that we regret. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to be wise and to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen.